Kept you waiting, huh?
Afternoon, or indeed, good bloody well evening to episode 113 of the UK's number one gaming podcast, Crosscast. We are part of the Crossplayers, a team of podcasters dedicated to bringing you all of our gusher opinions on the incredible games we play, the consoles we love, and the universe of news surrounding them all. To get things started on today's Crosscast, I want you to introduce Ben, Lewis, and Alex. Say hi, guys.
Hey, I'm going to
how are you doing? You alright?
Sure.
Just get on with it, mate.
You're right, Alex.
What is playing?
Oh, sorry. Podcast, guys. Come on, put it down. Come on. Stop.
Yeah.
It.
Okay.
What even right. Is that thing you have in your hand?
It's like a Switch.
Alex. Ye of little faith.
It's a well-selling console. Oh, actually, yeah.
I've got one of them. I've not seen it for a while.
It's not a potato. Basically, that's the problem, evidently.
More of a chip.
We have got a jam-packed Zelda show for you today. But before we begin, if you would like to support us, please give this podcast a review on the service you're using. Give us a like and subscribe in youtube.com/thecrossplayers or head over to thecrossplayers.com for all the links to all of our content and Discord. And if you are stark raving mad like Lewis, hit up patreon.com/thecrossplayers.
He's mad!
He's made! And contribute as little as £2 to help us produce the show and entry into the batshit crazy WhatsApp group. We all okay? We fine? We
doing okay? Good.
So good.
Lewis, you're looking very trim.
Thanks. It's a special shirt that I'm wearing. It just sucks everything up.
Wow. Giacomo, special. Ben, you're looking trim as well. You looked up before and I saw a nice little tidy jawline appearing.
Saw a jaw?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just, you can shave in ways now that hides a lot of the stuff.
Yeah, yeah. It's all about the angle of the shave.
Alex, it's nice to... Obviously, see you here. How's the fight with the Dark Lord going? Have you got all the Horcruxes yet, or are you still?
I'm halfway there. I got a couple to get. I'm just too busy playing with my wand.
It's fine. Okay. You're more right. Let's go into the news.
Glasses out of this.
I'm not going to leave them out of it. We've got some news for you guys. We've got a little bit of news, then we're going to dive into what we've been playing, because that is evidently more important than anything we could possibly talk about. Microtransactions, loot in games, on the BBC News at How Computer Games Encourage Kids to Spend Cash by Catherine Latham. This was on the 16th, so 2 days ago, as we were recording on the 18th. Nora Ward says keeping track of a kid's spending when they are playing their favourite computer games is a full-time job. Mrs. Ward lives in Barbados with her husband and sons Finn and Leaf, 14 and 12. When Leaf started playing Roblox, he began asking for Robux, the game's currency that allows players to upgrade the character or buy virtual items. So his grandparents gave him $200, which is equivalent to £159 Apple credit for Christmas. To my shock, he spent all of it in a matter of days, says Ms. Ward. After that, I gave him no more than $10 worth of Robux per month. He quickly became frustrated and bored with the game. Guys, this is inherently an issue at the moment, and we've all got young kids. I'm curious. Your opinion.
None of them called Leaf, though.
Or, yeah, or Finn. Finn's actually a little bit more normal.
Finn's all right.
Yeah.
The article kind of continues. It's actually really interesting. I was reading this on the train the other day, on the way to work. Just, again, different parents' experience of how their kids are spending money. I've got my own opinions on this because I got absolutely rinsed, or rather I had no self-control when I was slightly younger playing FIFA Ultimate Team. Do you think this is going to be a problem for us as our kids grow up?
Yes.
Why, Alex?
I think it's become more and more of a problem. I think from when we grew up to how kids are grown up now, and like it's just a complete different social environment, I think, between social media, between the accessibility of these things, between also it's like that whole different dynamic in gaming. Like, there's so much of this shift to free to play and then microtransactions and game transactions. It's like I was literally out, I was out playing with my son earlier, who is 5, and then there's a pair of twins up the street who are 7, and he came out and was like, "Guess what new skin I just got for Fortnite?" I mean, that's where we're at. Like, it's quite scary.
Instant gratification of today's youth. Not like when we were all young. We had to wait weeks for stuff. We had to wait for it. There was no such thing as pay to win or buying fancy new skins. You just had to get on with what you had. Weeks between episodes of television you wanted to watch. Can't just binge it. I had to record it on some things. I remember recording wrestling on a VHS tape, a cassette. That's a actual physical object. People listening who don't know what it is. And I had to put it on long play, which stretched the tape.
Oh, yeah, I remember.
To ensure I got the 4 hours worth of wrestling action.
God.
And then you'd break the wee bit off
top,
the end.
Top ripped off, though, so... Win-win.
You'd break the little plastic bit off so you couldn't tape over it. And then when you needed to, you'd get the sellotape out and sellotape over the little hole.
Madness.
It's only like 2 years ago, Ben, for the purpose of the people that are actually in England and not Scotland. what I was going to touch on as well, obviously, we've always had issues. Not issues, sorry. Let me rephrase that. We've always had fads, I think, and some of the things that I remember, like yo-yos being like one of the first when I was a little bit younger. Then it moving into like Pokemon cards, that kind of stuff. Pokemon cards, what were they, £2.50 a pack? Something like that, you know, if you wanted to go and get a booster pack. So was that kind of like the early introduction to this, really? Probably was, wasn't it?
Yeah, like Panini football stickers. Yeah. Dan, now you collect Paninis.
Oh, he's gone.
Just in a big folder.
Older,
there's a cheese and ham.
Oh, this is a rare one.
Oh, minted lamb.
Oh, a little bit of brie.
That's a soundbite for the rest of the podcast. Ben, you've got kids, mate. Are you worried about this? Roblox at all? I'm sure you said they play it.
Yeah, a little bit. I mean, it's just about kind of managing your kids, isn't it? And saying, like, you know, okay, I'll get you like a £10 Robux card for Christmas or whatever, but like, I'm not like being your dealer, you know, because it is, they will just absolutely absorb it, play with it, and then want the next thing over and over again. And it's, yeah, to Lewis's point, it is, you know, we're in that kind of generation now where we've got everything on tap. Kids, you know, expect everything we do as adults, right? You think, you know, how it's almost like a throwback waiting for an episode of Ted Lasso every Wednesday. It's like, ah, oh, I should be able to just binge it all and consume it immediately and then forget about it. You know, so it's that like steering them away from that junk food mentality, going, right, no, this is what you've got, just enjoy it. But it doesn't, you can't stop the playground chatter and the pressure. No. You know, it used to be, you know, we all grew up with that in some form. It would be like, you know, oh, so-and-so's got these new trainers. Oh, I need to get better trainers than him or whatever it is. And now it's Fortnite skins or Minecraft mods. Like, you know, my son just goes mad for all of them. And like, you know, he would, if I gave him £500, it would be, half of it would be gone on Rubik's Cubes, which again, like you were saying, Dan, is just what kids are into these days, just collecting things, you know, fine. And the other half would just be spent on digital currency, which is, again, a waste of money.
Yeah. Mine would be breaded sandwiches. I think it's the article continues. Obviously, they talk quite a lot about loot boxes. Like, I used to be awful for Ultimate Team packs, even I think up until when I was trying to batter Alex repeatedly, day in, day out on Ultimate Team, like a year or 2 years ago, was it now? Can't remember.
Yeah, a couple of years now, I think.
Yeah, can't remember that win rate, but it was pretty high.
It was huge.
It was massive. So based on that, like, if you get the opportunity to pack a decent player and you're paying maybe a quid or whatever it might be the equivalent of per pack, it's immensely addictive and it's so hard to keep tabs on it, and games don't allow you really to do that because hiding behind the currency in the game, I think it kind of desensitizes you to the actual money that you're spending. And one of the problems we've all got is, like, you've got contactless debit cards now. You don't really have to think about cash. It's not as tangible as it used to be. So, yeah, I do worry as my boys grow up that we've got to try and limit it. But I agree with Ben's point. As long as you can manage them and you're strong enough and responsible enough to say no, then hopefully we'll be okay.
I think, just to your point around, like, Pokemon cards and the stuff, like, starting it, I think the added difficulty we now have today is, back then, you saw them when you were in the shop, right? And they were on the playground, but you saw them in the shop. In the digital world of today, like, all of this is in your face 24/7. Yeah. Like, it's everywhere, all the time. Like, the ads kind of seeping in, whatever you're looking at, and then suddenly, it's like you get a WhatsApp message and suddenly your phone's telling you, like, 27 different adverts on one random thing that someone's sent you on WhatsApp. Like, it's everywhere now, and that's the added difficulty of the management of it.
But people say that it's, you know, the impact of advertising. I can still remember at least 3 or 4 different adverts from when I was watching, like, children's cartoons when I was younger.
Yeah.
My baby all gone, she'll make it all gone.
Yeah.
She loves
cherries from a jar.
Yep. Smells like cherries. It's like, if you can remember that thing now, God knows what kids are having to, like, fight with every single day when they're getting TikTok advertising, Instagram, in-game advertising as well. Even the billboards in FIFA advertise the players that you can possibly pack, or when it's, like, team of the year or anything like that. So, yeah.
It's, another one of adverts from youth. A big one for me was football crazy, chocolate mad, grab a power pod, I play football with the lads. Ben's
50.
Never heard that.
Black and
No, but that exact tune, I heard it because we had the window open today because it was a warm day. Ice cream van came past playing that tune, and I hadn't heard that tune for ages.
Twice in a day.
Crazy.
I know. It's all about the ice cream. Onto a relatively serious topic. So it is Mental Health Awareness Week. Not going to talk about this because I'm not qualified to, other than say, if you are seeking help, I've got a bit of a list of people that you can possibly speak to. This is UK only, so apologies for anyone else in different countries listening. So Anxiety UK, we'll share this link as well in the show notes and in the YouTube video. Bipolar UK, Calm, Men's Health Forum, Mental Health Foundation, Mind, No Panic, OCD Action, OCD UK, Papyrus, Rethink Mental Illness, Samaritans, Sane, Young Minds, there's Abuse, the NSPCC, that's Abuse was the header there, and then the NSPCC is within that. You've got Refuge, then Alcohol Misuse, you've got Alcoholics Anonymous, Al-Anon, Drinkline, an Association for Children of Alcoholics, Smart Recovery UK, Alzheimer's Society, there's Cruise Bereavement Care, Rape Crisis. It's a really, really good list that I found, so I'll share that. Other than that, it's, I think, from a video game perspective, I've seen quite a few nice articles saying how useful video games have been for people in terms of getting them out of ruts. I think we've all spoke about this, didn't we, during lockdown, saying especially it's one of those things and mechanisms that we find unwinds us a little bit better than other mediums.
Yeah.
Mm.
Definitely. It can also get you in a rut as well. I think, to be completely fair about it, like you can definitely sink too deep into a game and then sacrifice other things. So,
yeah.
As with all things, I know. Balance, isn't it?
Yeah. I know when I'm in a rut. Like I think I mentioned it last pod or the pod before, and I went, I've been playing FIFA.
Yep. Yeah.
That's the warning sign.
The red flag is Rocket League for 2.5 years with Carl. That's the red flag. So yeah, but no. Also, I think jokes aside, like the ability to do that and speak to a friend every night and then have that moment, have a laugh. Yeah, there's a lot to be said for it, and I'm happy we have it because I wouldn't have found you guys.
Yeah, and I should just say, yeah, like you know, we've had a few new people in Discord recently. It's just a nice little community we've got. Obviously, we all joke around with each other, but I wouldn't want anyone to feel too intimidated to join that if they do need to have a little chat with someone just about their interests or whatever else is on their mind. It's our door is always open.
Well said. Indeed. And if you like VR at the moment, time to get involved. Exactly. Rife for VR. Rife for it. So we're going to move on to something else. I've saved one new story, so I'm going to go into Pick Up and Play. Pew. Pick up and play. Big lungs, don't say anything, Lewis, that's not a joke. IGN, 10 out of 10. The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom is an unfathomable follow-up to one of the greatest games ever made, somehow improving upon it in nearly every way. GameSpot, 10 out of 10. Zelda Tears of the Kingdom is a canvas for your own creativity, a book to write your own stories, a world to create your own legends. Press Start Australia, The Legend of Zelda Tears of the Kingdom builds upon Breath of the Wild's robust systems to offer an experience that eclipses the original in practically every way. Eurogamer, 4 stars. Tears of the Kingdom is the direct sequel for all its changes, and Zelda tends not to go in for those. All told, Tears of the Kingdom is an astonishing, quite literally top-to-bottom sequel, adding complexity and splendour to the Breath of the Wild formula without sacrificing its enchantment. VGC 5 stars. It says easily one of the very best games on Nintendo Switch. Game Informer, 9.75. I didn't even realise they'd 0.75. Jesus wept. Get a grip.
Kyle Hilliard, wasn't it, who did that? Game Informer.
Well, there you go. Throwing names out. Didn't have to add that in there, but it's fine. A near perfect score from Kyle Hilliard at Game Informer. I didn't get the same goosebumps exploring Hyrule as I did in the past, but I did experience new emotions both on a granular level from solving individual puzzles and on a larger scale by going back to one of my favourite video game locations. They say you can never go home again, but I adored returning to Hyrule with all new tools. So let's talk about Jedi Survivor. Alex, you've completed it, mate, haven't you?
I have finished Jedi Survivor.
Well, okay.
So let's just get this out of the way. I have not played Tears of the Kingdom through much of your discussion.
Show the people on the video, please, what you've got right in front of you.
I mean, I have it sitting here. It is still sealed.
There's the shine on it.
Since Friday at 2 p.m. when it arrived. I wanted to get Jedi Survivor finished before I started Tears of the Kingdom. And then I finished Jedi Survivor and I still didn't start it. And I don't really know why. Like, you I genuinely don't know why.
You hate Breath of the Wild, though, don't you?
No, I don't. It was number three in my top 10 games list. Like,
I know, still.
Doesn't mean, no, I didn't hate it. I think I want the right amount of time to be able to sit and get into it, and I don't feel like I've had that amount of time, whereas if the right amount of time to like jump into a VR game or to like the couple of hours I was playing to finish Jedi Survivor, whereas I know when I want to start this, I'll not want to put it down, and I don't have that kind of time at the moment, which is the main reason why I'm not starting it. Like, to probably totally discussion fair. That you guys are going to have is the main thing, because I don't think I'll get the most out of it if I'm bitty with it, like particularly at the beginning. I think once you're into it and then you're maybe a bit further in and you're kind of playing it in smaller chunks, that'd be fine. But Jedi Survivor was very good.
Yeah.
I really enjoyed it, other than like the terrible frame drops. Like, the performance of that game really wasn't good. I don't think in any platform. I know the PC get quite a big
was kicking.
Was the one that was really called out for being bad, but PS5 was not great. I don't think the Xbox is great. I think a lot of plaudits for getting that game out quite quickly, but I think they should have taken a bit longer and polished it a bit, because it did detract a little bit. The story was really good, the combat was good. It was more of the same but refined, and I really enjoyed Fallen Order. I probably enjoyed this one a wee bit better. I know, Dan, you're playing it, so I'm not going to give like any spoilers. And then the story was good, some of it maybe a little bit predictable, but it really did. And it was probably what you expect. A better version of the first game, a bit like what Breath of the Wild, Tears of the Kingdom seems to be to Breath of the Wild.
Cool.
To a certain extent.
Positive.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, going in the right direction.
Yeah. Me too, actually. I'm definitely planning to pick that up when it drops in price a little bit.
To the kind of point you guys were talking about a minute ago as well, like to that kind of when you're in a rut or a gaming rut and then a game to draw you back in, that's the first kind of bigger game like that in a long time that's actually kind of got me like, right, I want to get into this, I want to play it, I want to finish it, like enjoying the story, probably. And Ragnarok wasn't that long ago, but it feels it. So it was good from that perspective. It's the, I think because I've been so used to playing small games, because I did also play, I think the last time I was on, I had just started Benedict Fox. And I finished that, and that was good as well, but it was one of those games that tried to do too many things and didn't get enough of them right. So it looked really good. It had probably a wee bit of everything in it, but I think, and it was quite good in terms of comparison between that and Jedi Survivor, because you've got all that traversal and like platforming and everything in Jedi Survivor to get kind of traverse through the planets and the worlds. But it's really well done and really tight, whereas you have quite a lot of that platforming and traversal in Benedict Fox, and it's not tight enough, and you're getting frustrated because you're not getting to the place and you're having to try two or three times to get there. And I think it was quite a good contrast between those games to see how the visuals and everything, the performance of Benedict Fox was run really well. It's quite well polished. There was some little issues for an indie game, but yet the gameplay element of Jedi Survivor was spot on, but the performance wasn't there. So good contrast.
Yeah, it's
true.
Do
you think back to the game you played when you played Benedict Fox at EGX? Now you've played the whole thing, can you remember that there being an issue that didn't seem like an issue back then that was an issue?
No.
Or just like the dip? Because it was like 5 minutes or something?
Yeah.
The demo.
I think because we only seen a bit of it, I don't think you realised as many different things it was trying to do. I think the deeper you get into the game and the more things it layers on, and it's really good at trying to layer these things on and having the different types of puzzles and that, but I felt like the Metroidvania bit of it was almost too big, because I kept getting lost, and not because it was I wasn't understanding. I'm like, I think some of the areas were too intricate that it was almost too big that you couldn't remember. Like, you knew you had something somewhere to find, but even when you like turned all the markers on in the map, you still weren't sure where it was. I think it was just a good idea, just not quite implemented as well as it could be.
Sounds like it's sort of deserving of its 66.1 on Open Critic.
Who reviewed that, Ben?
I don't know who reviewed it. I was just bringing that up. Just I thought it was worth noting. So I think one of us has got it in our fantasy critic roster, I believe.
Let's not talk about that.
You need to give an update on that. I think Jedi Survivor, I found the same in the first few hours already, where it is just chugging at times, and it's not really taking me out of a moment, but or rather the whole game, but it is taking me out of those individual moments, rather, you know, where you're kind of having a really good fight, and there's maybe a couple more enemies on screen, and you just getting to learn some decent force moves, and, you know, decent lightsaber techniques, and then all of a sudden, by using one of them, and maybe impacting four or five different enemies at once, just causes the game to go like slow. But truth be told, we'll talk about it in a minute, but that's happened a couple of times quite regularly actually in Zelda, where it slows down quite a lot. So I don't know, it might not be as easy a feat for someone using a PS5 as a Switch, but I would have expected more out of it. So
yeah,
but cool. Have you picked up anything other than Zelda?
No, for a change I've been fairly well behaved. No big pickups, I think. Don't even think I've ordered anything. I've got nothing on the way. So, yeah, that's been it.
Wow. It's been a couple of months now of sensible lack of spending. Insane. Mm. Ben, what have you picked up?
Well, nothing other than Tears of the Kingdom.
Nice. Lewis, picked up anything?
Well, no, I guess I spoke about this before, but I hadn't arrived when I mentioned it, but I got the Zelda OLED.
Lovely.
Yeah, look, there's my hand.
Are they white on the back, those Joy-Cons?
Yes.
I quite like the little square. Yeah.
How are you finding the screen on the OLED?
Beautiful.
Mm.
Nice. Lovely. I didn't play anything on it, so I arrived, the 28th or something. Didn't play anything on it until Zelda came out. Just sat there, looking nice. Didn't play a thing.
Mm. Beautiful.
So all... three of us are playing it on OLED, right?
Yeah. Mm. So that's nice. I'll tell you my pickup. So I picked up that little bastard.
Oh, yeah.
It's pretty cool.
Yep.
Decent.
Lovely.
Got the Pro Controller, which is the best.
That was, audio listeners, that was Amiibo, the Lynx.
Thank you.
The Link
Amiibo. Yeah. That's the...
That Pro Controller is gorgeous.
It is.
It took every amount of willpower for me to not order that and plunge myself further into debt for them.
I just feel the only one criticism that controller I don't get the white,
it's symbolic. You need to play the game. It's symbolic.
Yeah,
symbolism, subtle.
Yeah, it doesn't. I wouldn't want it to be subtle. So I don't like the garish green. I do like Splatoon 1, but I wouldn't like that green on a controller. It would have looked weird with the gold color scheme. So I like the gold.
I would have had it gold.
Maybe. I don't know.
I think it works well. Yeah, and it pairs nicely with the white Joy-Cons of the OLED. I just think so.
Agreed.
Well, I suppose, when you look at the Joy-Cons on Lewis's console as well, with being white in the back, the gold's in the front, it makes more sense.
Okay. Exactly. All right, we'll keep bashing things up, and I'll do the same to you.
That was a very good criticism.
The boy who lived.
Got the steelbook. That came with the collector's edition.
Nice.
Collector's edition's already in the loft. The art book's good inside it, but I didn't want to read it too much because it felt a bit spoilery.
Good point.
The art side of it's quite nice. So you can.
Yeah, good looking steelbook. That
it is nice. I was very happy with that. Usually the Switch ones are a little bit crappy, but this one's really premium, so it's nice alongside the Link's Awakening one. So that's good.
Classy.
Okay, so we've got Alex out of the way. He's had his moment.
Link's Awakening one's nice, though. That's the Game Boy.
It is.
The Game Boy box.
Still my favourite. It is nice. Still my favourite.
That's nice.
He's what, just give me a message when he's done.
If you want to just sit there, just turn your back. It'll be quite funny, actually.
End of football on, right?
just keep an eye on the chat for us, Alex.
Yeah, just fine.
Do the admin.
Yeah, catch up on the admin. So, this is a masterpiece already. I think we're all probably in agreement of it. How many hours are you in, Ben, at the moment?
Lewis tells me over 30.
Well, I'm just going by what my Switch tells me. In the trending with friends, anyone who has Ben as a friend, go on there. Benji Kong played for over 30 hours.
I mean, I guess it's possible. It just seems
It's more absurd. Than possible. It's fact.
It's factual, yeah.
It's a doctor fact. Yeah, I mean, it only came out less than a week ago. It just seems... Yeah. I don't feel like I've spent that much time with it.
Well, guess what?
Yeah.
Okay, but you're at over 20 hours, which is, again...
That's fine.
Don't start.
That's perfectly normal.
You played 5 hours a day of Tears of the Kingdom, according to that 30 hours, and the 6 days that you've had it. That's ridiculous.
That's maths.
Quick maths. Yep.
But the way I've been measuring it is in terms of... I've got 10 hearts, I've got 3/5 of a stamina wheel, and that's how I'm that's how I'm keeping time. I'm like, okay, that's where I'm at. That's my progress so far. Okay. But what about you, Dan? What are you how deep are you into this part?
I'm still in the first area and I'm just exploring every part of it. So I think I'm maybe three, four hours into it. What did you say?
45 minutes.
45 minutes, fuck off. Nearly Bellin, I'll have you later. So the Lewis, how long have you been playing it for? 20 hours?
Apparently. According to the training with friends. I can't tell yours, Dan, because yours is you've
Masked.
Hidden. Oh.
Yeah.
God doesn't tell me.
It's not. It's because I haven't played enough of it yet for it to hit one of the thresholds where it says played for this many hours.
Hour.
Oh no, I can't see any of your games because you've got your things on, so I can't see it. I can't do the investigations that I like doing on the Switch.
I'll turn on while we're talking about it now, but I want to talk about a couple of different sections of this. So we'll break it down. I want to talk about gameplay because it's a little bit different to Breath of the Wild. We're not going to go into any spoilers on story, so we'll leave that out. I think we need to do a spoiler cast for this at some point and add it to the list of the Elden Ring.
Add it to the list.
Yeah, which we'll inevitably probably never get around to. So I want to talk about, like I said, gameplay. I think we should talk about graphics and probably bundle in audio. Yeah?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
And what other section should we...
I guess bit of... Well, we don't want to cover the story, do we? But we can maybe go over the opening, because obviously you've done the opening little section. I think it's quite an important scene setter as well.
It is. And I think some of the ways it differs from Breath of the Wild in...
Mm.
Almost masking the fact you're in that opening section. It's pretty cool. So, yeah. Okay, so let's talk about gameplay. So, immediately... In fact, Ben, I'm going to let you explain this because you're very poignant and you've played 30 hours. You are the guru of the group when it comes to Tears of the Kingdom. Tell me a little about the new gameplay mechanics in this game, please.
Yeah, I think the biggest overhaul is in the mechanics, is your abilities, your powers that you've got. The ones from Breath of the Wild are completely gone now, so there's no bomb, there's no magnesis. In the starting area, the kind of tutorial area, the equivalent of the Great Plateau, you get your four core abilities, which are Recall, Ultra Hand, Fuse, and Ascend. So, obviously, Recall, you can turn back time, get an item to move back in time. So if something's dropping out of the sky, you can send it back up into the sky using that power. Ultra Hand is probably the one that's got the most press coverage, right?
Yeah.
That's the one where you can move anything around, basically any movable object in the world, fuse it onto something else, use these zonai parts to craft crazy contraptions. Fuse is a more simple one. You basically fuse any material to a weapon, make it stronger, give it special abilities. And then Ascend, which I learned only recently, was a debug tool that they were playing around with when they were making the game, just so they could get around quickly. And then they were like, oh, this is actually fun. Maybe we should bake this into the game. So that's the one where you can like go up through whatever ceiling is above you and merge on top of it, basically. Which is really cool. But which one of those are you guys kind of, obviously Daniel still early doors, which one are you kind of enjoying the most out of them?
I keep forgetting they're there. I'm other than if I'm needing a new weapon, so my weapon just now is like a diamond sword, which is really powerful, quite cool looking. I keep on playing it like I'm playing Breath of the Wild. I'm like, oh yeah, I can like, I'm going past like the little stations where you can make a wagon or something, and I'm like, oh yeah, I could do that, couldn't I? And I'm like, no, I'm going to that shrine over there.
Yeah.
So I just keep forgetting about it. One I totally forgot existed was Ascend. I was trying to get up somewhere, and I was like, fucking hell, this is annoying. And then it occurred to me, I was like, oh.
Yeah. It's, the little animation where he's like swimming through like solid rock is just lovely. Really good. But,
nice. It's really cool. Like, from what I've seen, like, you maybe discover more parts or whatever to help you build anything that you want. Like, I've muted everything online because I don't want to see anything. So like, if you can imagine it, I think you can have a good old stab at making it. I don't think there's a limit on what you can create with Ultra Hand, but it's so cool. Like, I really like the recall. I've managed to get around things by using that. Just the flexibility in what they have given you at your disposal is so clever. In all that, I can kind of see what's taken the time.
It makes you feel clever, though. I think that's the part that's real different for me. Like, some of the the shrines and stuff in Breath of the Wild. Like, you, they're awesome, absolutely fantastic. I'm not taking anything away from them, but it's almost like it's a different level to that in terms of how you can actually problem solve in this game. And that's where, when you just said then, like, I've muted everything online, I've been the same. I got furious watching. I think somebody brought like a bridge down using Ultra Hand on top of a big enemy, and I saw that video before and I was like, I don't want to watch it. I feel like that's spoilers to me. And that's why I'm making the joke with everyone in the group. Like, they're telling me about their experience in the game, and I'm going, I love you to bits. I just don't want to know anything you're fucking telling me about this game, because I want to feel intelligent as I'm playing it. That's the fun part of this game to me. So I think previously with...
It's, I know everyone does that. It makes you feel smart. When you do something, you're like, my God,
particularly when you go, when you look at like a shrine, for example, and you go, right, I see what you want me to do here.
Yeah.
But I'm going to completely do something different using a different object or a different ability and just like almost break the game. I think that's the most satisfying part of the shrines. Is there's so many different ways you can go at them. There's like the obvious way, or there's a way that you can kind of cheese it. And obviously me being me, I'm loving the cheese. I'm just like, yeah, you know what? I'm going to use recall and just make that platform go up and then make it come back down again, recall, jump on it, and then it will go back up again.
Yeah
and that will get me where I need to go, and little things like that. Just like, it's brilliant. I love the feeling of just playing with the toy box that they give you and doing whatever the hell you want with it. It's amazing.
I've been really hesitant to say what I've, like, the bits that I've really enjoyed in the chat, because I get someone like any other chat in the WhatsApp group or whatever, I've kind of skimmed past it because I don't want to read anything. So I've kind of I've not really said the bits that I've, even though it was a bit like really early on, I was like grinning from ear to ear. I thought it was amazing. I was like, I don't want to say, because I don't want to add expectation onto one of you guys to say, it's not hit the same way as it did for him. So like, I don't want to say stuff because I want you guys to perhaps experience it the same way that I did, or get the same feelings without having the thought of the fact that I had said it or someone had said it that would preempt how you feel about him. So yeah, I've been quite careful on what I've said with stuff. And said nothing.
For the purpose of listeners, and quite a few other people as well that we've got in our other WhatsApp groups, but we had like an Elden Ring group where there was maybe four or five of us in there just exchanging constant information. Like, that group was just popping off. Probably more than any other WhatsApp group ever that we've ever had. It was just like, bang, bang, right, I'm seeing this. This is great. This enemy on this air. This is what I've done. Ben's cheesing it, blah, blah, blah. Everything was just bum, bum, bum. We've now rebranded that into a Tears of the Kingdom group, and it's like a fucking morgue. It's like, no one's seen anything in that group other than I played this game so many hours, and like, just anecdotal stuff.
Oh, it's amazing.
It's great. That's it.
And then a joke. But yeah, no one's going, oh, I did this. Oh, have you seen this bit? Because I think Lewis is right. Like, part of it is, it doesn't need to be a story spoiler. It's just that discovery spoiler, and you want people to stumble over stuff. I mean, it's doing the same thing as Elden Ring did, where you're like, what? And there's so many moments where I've just had my mind blown.
Is Alex opening up?
I think we're convincing him. He's opening it live. But yeah, like, just the, like you said, Lewis, just the grinning from ear to ear. I played three, in my most recent session, I played three different, entirely different sections that reminded me of other games. And each one of them was like pure delight. And I don't even want to say what they are. I've got them written down here, but I don't want to like say, oh, this was like, this was like, and this was like, it's like, I want us all to like kind of experience it.
Come back and go, did you mean this?
Afterwards and go, did you do that bit? It's just, incredible.
I think the fun, the real fun of it as well is like, everything feels, it's a euphemism and a half, everything feels tighter and more curated than Breath of the Wild did. So Breath of the Wild, like, there'll be moments where you'd have still a quarter of a stamina wheel, you know, right in the first section to be able to climb something and get up there. And it felt relatively arduous at times. Like, if I was doing the climbing part, I was like, right, okay, I know I can get up to it. Everything in tears already, every single section feels like as if you are just getting there by the scruff of your neck, you know, as if you're just able to hit that corner.
Yeah.
You're just able to make a platform. The enemy's just difficult enough to, like, for me, obviously I've never been a massive Zelda fan because I was never a Nintendo guy when I was younger and growing up. Breath of the Wild completely changed that for me. I always loved Wind Waker, but again, it's a bit of a different game. This feels like, to me, like quintessential Zelda from when I played what I played when I was younger. Like having to fire a bow, select something to pair onto that, you know, to blow something up at the same, all of those kind of mechanisms feel more Zelda to me. So the question I was probably going to say to you guys, because you were more Zelda aficionados, does it feel more Zelda or not?
I don't know. I guess I'm not sure. Like it still feels like new Zelda to me.
Yeah, it does. I think there's a few parts. It's very difficult because I don't want to like spoil anything at all. But there's a few bits that make you go, "Huh, okay, they've listened."
Yeah.
To feedback. But then there's a few other bits, like the weapon degradation thing.
Well, now, worse basically, now, isn't it?
Every weapon has decayed. Like, every weapon you pick up, oh, it's a decayed shit sword.
That's another rusty broadsword.
And the enemies seem to hit harder. I was going to say that I think the combat
definitely
is probably it doesn't. The combat hasn't really changed since Breath of the Wild, but it does feel like it's probably still the weakest part. If anything, but I'm noticing I'm definitely using the bow more than I was.
Yeah.
Being able to fuse items onto weapons is a game changer as well. So flamethrower on a shield all day long. Like that, I'm good with that.
That's the part I've just done in the opening section. So I think it's probably okay to talk about that part. But
yeah,
there's like a worm kind of thing that's coming out of a rock at the bottom of a cavern. And it's got this classic Zelda thing of like, it's got like it opens its mouth. There's a red ball on the inside. You go, right, I need to go and hit that. And you go to hit it and it just eats you. And you're like, okay, shit, I go down to one heart. And I'm like, right, I'll leave him. I've got no idea how to beat that at this point. I got some bomb plants and stuff. And I was like, but I'm pepping it with arrows. And it's barely even losing any health. You get to the top of that cavern and immediately there's a shield on the floor with another one there, another one of those creatures. And the shield's got a flamethrower attached to the front of it. So I go, right, okay, I'll attach it. Automatically, you see that enemy is weak. And it, like, expands out. It's vile when that creature gets properly hit. And it, like, all of its innards kind of come out of the front of its mouth. And it basically goes...
Yeah, like a little hemorrhoid out of his mouth, basically.
Yeah.
Seen that before. So basically, I was like, right, okay, bashing it. And I was like, right, I'll go all the way back down to the fucking one. I'll go and get the other one because it stole one of my bows when it ate me. Did that, and it was instantly, I've learned this new mechanic of like how pairing something onto the front of a shield. Before that, I wasn't really too bothered about attaching things, and immediately as soon as that happened, I was like, okay, this is what it's going to go, and this is where it's going to take me.
It's genius. And even that example there, when I got to that bit, my first thought was, right, he's lunging for me and eating me. I'm going to pick one of these bomb flowers, drop it on the ground, let him swallow it, and that's exactly what he did.
Really?
So he swallows it, and then it blows up inside him, and then his hemorrhoid pops out, and you can bash it. But that's the thing. There's so many ways to go about these things, and it's like they nudge you in a direction to teach you stuff. But then if you want to ignore that and try something else, then it lets you do that as well. It's just brilliant. But that creature, going back to your other question, Dan, about is this more Zelda? That's called a like-like, and that is from like the original Legend of Zelda. Like, it hasn't been in the last few games, as far as I'm aware.
Oh, Alex.
Hi, Alex is raising his hand.
Hello, mate.
I'm still here.
Alex is alive, everyone.
Yeah. No, just on that point, so I did ask in the chat, I said, does it feel more Zelda? And Ethan said, definitely to me, in the sense that it brings back old themes, enemies, traditional puzzles, and combines them with the new Breath of the Wild style. The enemies in particular, I've seen a few from previous Zelda games as far back as the NES original. Great way to pull back from the lore. And then he said, like.
There we go. There we go.
That's how you knew it then, Ben.
I'm not monitoring the chat.
You also don't have more than 30 hours in game, so...
Lies!
Allegedly. So mechanics, go on, Ben, what are you going to say?
No, carry on.
So we're saying from the mechanics perspective, that's where, Okay, so if I'm 5 hours in, at what point do you guys now feel like you are fully accomplished in your skill set, or do you feel like there's still things to come?
Loads.
So much to come.
Really?
Yeah.
Like, I feel like I've barely scraped the surface with Fuse. Like, mm-hmm. I'm still sticking to, you know, the, like I said, like that flamethrower thing on a shield.
Mm.
That does me in most scenarios. But there's so much more. The further you go in, the more devices you find that you can make crazy, crazy shit out of. And I've found some stuff now that I'm like, my God, the possibilities are like endless almost. It's just every one, it almost escalates the fun. Like they start off with quite basic ones, and then you just get to some mad shit, and you can just create just ridiculous things. So no, I don't feel like I've touched it at all. Particularly again with combat, I'm not really using any of the abilities.
Okay.
So I used to use the abilities in combat a lot, whether it was like the bomb stuff, which, you know, you start off by just chucking a bomb and then wade into them. I can remember that everyone used to say how they were struggling with like Lynels in Breath of the Wild.
Yeah. Yeah.
I think I'm pretty sure I never really fought one properly. I would just like freeze it in time or something like that and then attack it and then run away.
Say it, Lewis.
You know, basically cheese it.
Yeah.
But I haven't really used the new abilities in combat at all. So because obviously it's slightly cumbersome control wise to like get Ultra Hand ready, select the item you want to drop on top of an enemy or whatever. So yeah, there's that. I'm guessing there's scope to get better at that.
Just as we're talking about it here, and you mentioned bombs, made me think of the abilities in Breath of the Wild, and now they feel very primitive.
Yeah,
yeah,
very.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Mm.
But
like Magnesis was basically Ultra Hand is Magnesis, but it's not just metal objects. Now you can do it with everything. You can pick everything up, which just opens everything.
I think I can't. Was it the IGN review where they said it makes Breath of the Wild feel like a draft? And that to me is still a really, really good way of explaining it. Because I went into it going, after watching part of that interview, that review, and going, that reference, obviously I get what the reference is, but I can't visualize it. And then as soon as I started playing it, it was like, even in the opening area, the way that you've got the, what they call the stewards or the...
Yeah, the constructs.
Zonai created. So you've got those kind of guys just like chilling out, basically helping you out in the different areas, whether it's reintroducing you to cooking, but obviously it feels like more purposeful now, like as in it's not there's more importance to it. Then it was all the different skill sets that you get, like the Ultra Hand, etc., obviously again more important. I think immediately after getting introduced to the Zonai tech, I attached it to a raft, tried to hit it, the raft fucking flew off without me because I didn't realize I needed to be on the raft and then hit it. Yeah. The second time I did it, I had an axe hit it and it broke apart the entire raft into wood. And I was like, right, okay, I need to try and figure this out. So there's just a wonderful learning part in that first section that you didn't, like, again, the Great Plateau.
Great.
Within that area, was still probably one of my favorite gaming moments of all time, of just like figuring stuff out and then being released into the wider world. And I get this is going to do the same thing, but this just feels more accomplished. And if the game's anything to go by further on, presumably the size of that opening area compared to, you know, the Great Plateau, again, it feels astronomical. So really, really cool. So talk to me a little bit about the graphics of it, because obviously there's always going to be the naysayers and the detractors online just saying this isn't the best looking game. You know, I have had a lot of graphical issues, performance issues with it. Even in the opening sections, I think there's one enemy with a flamethrower and it just completely chugged the game out for maybe like 30 seconds or whatever, because he was trying to chase me up a hill. What are you guys experiencing in it at the moment? And obviously, does it improve as the game goes on? What are your thoughts?
I'm trying to think if I've had that issue with that.
It's only frame rate.
I can't remember. Frame rate.
Yeah.
I can't remember if it was that or something else.
I can, while you're thinking, I can remember one. I think that opening area is the worst part.
Okay, cool.
To be completely honest, I can remember being shocked at some of the texture stuff initially. Now, when I started it, I did start it on the TV.
Yes.
I think it looks noticeably worse on a TV compared to an OLED switch.
Handle piece.
So I basically have been playing it exclusively handheld since then.
It's a massive difference, I would say. Like, even in, I don't know what the frame rate is on the transfer to the television, but it looked not, it just was visibly not chuggy, but you could see it wasn't as smooth as it could have been. But soon as you go handheld, it's fine. It's good. I don't think that was my issue. So with frame rate was on the really chuggy bit was on Tears of the Kingdom. I don't think it was.
I got the most noticeable sort of slowdown, and it did remind me of like a Super Nintendo game, how slow it was going, was that at the first boss that I fought. And it was, it was just like, ooh, you're struggling here, little 8-year-old tablet technology. Because there's a lot going on, a lot of particle effects, and yeah, it was really like...
Were you in the telly? Were you in the telly for that? Speed.
No, handheld.
Yeah, I didn't have an issue with that one.
Hmm.
As in, performance wise.
Did a different boss?
Mm-hmm.
Maybe. Never
maybe
know.
Maybe
we can take this offline. But generally, I have to say, I'm more than happy with the graphical output of it, the look of it. The art style does a lot of the heavy lifting anyway, but there's been a few little drops here and there, but nothing immersion breaking. I'm still like blown away by all the vistas that it serves up. The fucking draw distance is mental.
Yeah, it's crazy.
You go up as high as you can go, you can 360 see everything in the distance. Like, it's not an issue at all. So it's doing everything. I mean, it's doing more than you would expect the Switch to do. Switch hardware was old when it came out, and it's still making games that look incredible. We've been spoiled by, you know, PS5 and Series X fidelity, obviously, but I'm not noticing it's 30 frames per second. Like,
we're getting remaster of this in 7 years' time anyway on the next hardware, aren't we? Let's be honest. Exactly. So and, imagine what that's going to be.
We'll all pay 100 quid for it, probably. But yeah, I'm fine. I'm fine with the graphics, to be honest.
Yeah, I'm okay with it. Yeah, I saw the usual kind of, like I said, controversy online and people criticizing it, which seems to happen with every Switch game that's widely well reviewed anyway. But like you said, the graphical style of it carries it through, and I like some of the changes to it as well. It just feels like the colors pop a lot more in this game than what it did in Breath of the Wild. Sometimes it felt a little bit more oil painting,
washed out almost.
That kind of look to it. But this feels a lot more vibrant, and it certainly makes more even in the opening areas. Albeit I've only been in the opening area, of just giving you difference in texture. Same to yourself. I think when I've come out of a couple of the caves, it takes a little bit of time for the textures to pop back onto things. But other than that, and a bit of a frame rate drop now and again, no different to early Elden Ring. And considering, did this have a day one patch? I think it did, didn't it? It had something downloaded.
Yeah.
But considering it's not really had anything massive issues, there's not really been anything online about game saves getting cancelled or some of the things that happened with Elden Ring, I'd still say it's bloody impressive. But has anyone actually figured out how big this game is compared to Breath of the Wild? Because I get the vertical side, it's massive, but then there's the underneath as well, isn't there? Which we won't talk about, but...
Yeah. No, but I mean, it's way, way bigger. Than Breath of the Wild, isn't it? A file size is way bigger as well. It's like 16 gig.
Is it?
as well, compared to 14 or whatever Breath of the Wild was. Is absolutely ridiculous.
What's in the 2 gigs? One thing you can both help me out with. Sorry, Alex. One last question for the guys. Does the story follow on from Breath of the Wild?
Yes.
It doesn't feel like it does, because the part that threw me is obviously those powers have gone. Which, again, and then the references to...
You don't have your Sheikah slates away. No.
Yeah, and it was just that new tablet, but it was a bit...
Yeah, Link basically gets the Metroid treatment at the start of it, doesn't he? Okay. Where you're like, oh, all your powers have gone. Yeah. All your hearts that you saved up from the last game, say goodbye. And it does that in quite a nice little sequence. So yeah, I think that's the way that it kind of explains that away.
Yeah, it was just the power part, because I don't unless I missed it when I was watching that first FMV, but I just didn't see anything happening with those powers. Maybe if he was holding a bomb or something that disappeared, then maybe it'd be easier for me to follow through. Oh no, it's gone. Then that would have been easy for dummy old me to figure that part out. But I was 99% sure it was a follow on because of everything that had been said. But then I was like, is that what the game's trying to do? Maybe it's kidding you into thinking it's a follow-on, but it's not. It's a different universe. I don't know.
An amount of time has passed, like
a few years. Long enough for him to grow his hair a bit longer.
Mm. He's got his mane, basically. Yeah.
But one thing, oh, luscious, very jealous. One thing about that opening sequence, and I kind of agree with you, Dan. I found some of it a bit hard to pass, but Zelda's voice actress, who's come in for some shit, she did in the first game, she didn't bother me in the first game, but the opening sequence of this, she's reading some like etchings on this wall underground.
I think so.
And her tone seems to be, as she's like deciphering what's on the wall, she seems terrified. the more she's reading, she's like, oh, I'm in. Like that. And then it gets to the big reveal and she's not terrified. She's actually just really excited. She's actually just nerding out about it.
Yeah.
But I didn't pick that up from her tone at all. I was like, oh God, what's going to happen?
Yeah.
And I think she was trying to act excited, but it just didn't come across. And she just sounded like she was in sheer terror to me. I don't know if you guys interpreted it the same way.
The same thing, exactly the same thing. And I think she runs into you run into two different rooms, don't you? And like you uncover some history about the area that you're in. And each time she's like, oh, and Link shits himself visibly. He's like, what the fuck? He's like, ready to go, like ready prep for action. And it's like, oh my God, the inscription on the wall. It's like, what the fuck? And then she does it in the next room, and he's like, whoa, goes off it again. Oh, it's proper funny. Yeah.
But I do think that is a great tone setter, that scene. That hooked me. I think that's a really strong opening to a video game. It got me right into it, and really, really enjoyed that. And I think it introduces like the new kind of soundscape right from the start as well, which, we're probably going to touch on sound and music anyway, but that is just perfection as well. I love all the little
very unnerving to it, isn't it? It's like
which is that. So that score, this unnerving score, is going on while she's talking in this apparently terrified way. So that all made me think something. You know, she was uncovering something ominous, and it was actually, you know, she was just being a massive geek, which was quite endearing in the end. But
so let's finish up on opening. Let's finish up on music then. So you guys are further into it. I'm already trying to find music for this game because I'm just in love with it completely. And everything feels like it's building to a crescendo, and the way it bleeds into fight scenes and bleeds out. Like, Breath of the Wild was fantastic in the way that it did that anyway. It was this kind of tranquil kind of setting, regardless of where you were. And then if you were in certain areas, it gave you a bit of spice for that area and added a bit of flavour to it. It's the same for this, but just, again, everything feels elevated somehow. I can't put my finger on it. It's so, so good.
There's some quite nice like reprises of music that you'd hear in Breath of the Wild. So, maybe in the same, I don't know, Hyrule Field or something like that. And it's like this, maybe a slightly slower or differently paced version of the tune that would play when you're going through Hyrule Field or some other region. I just want to say that the final trailer song, I mean, I love the Breath of the Wild theme. Thought that was amazing. This is turned it up to 11, to use a massive cliche. I thought that trailer was amazing. I always revisited the same bit. the bit in the trailer directly after which Zelda goes, Link. And then this fucking like saxophone starts playing. Yeah. And it's just, it's so cool. Like, they, that's when you see Recall for the first time. Bang, bang, bang. And then they're like zipping about through the air. I was like, this is fucking, this is so cool. It's such a good song.
But it hints there, doesn't it? Like you're saying about, obviously, it hits into the music, but then it's got that kind of, I don't know how to explain it, but it's like that trepidation tune at the end, almost like hits, and it's very similar then to what actually happens in the opener, Tears, where it's giving you that constant unnerving feeling. It's like, ugh.
Yeah, it's interesting you said that, because remember the reveal trailer from E3? It sort of, you got them walking through the cave, and then stuff happened. You've seen the skeleton.
Like the reversed voices.
The castle rose up, and then it kind of went, boom. And there's like a few like piano notes behind like in front of like a really deep note in the background. So yeah, you're right with a sort of ominous tone. Yeah, I just thought about it like that.
I think they really fucked up the first trailers. I don't think they should have shown anything. I think they could have given a here's the game, it's coming out, and then drip fed like pretty much the last trailer over three or four trailers, because that was plenty, you know, to see. But
Ethan in the chat has just raised a really good point that I forgot to mention as well about the music. He said, have you heard Link humming when you cook? Listen carefully next time you're cooking.
Really?
It is. Yeah. So I've noticed him humming like, like old Zelda theme songs and old Zelda songs.
I always like,
it's so subtle, but it's just like amazing. It's just when I was like, is he humming like an old? And then the next time it was like, he fucking is. I know that song. It's brilliant. In general, though, I completely agree about the music. I also think it's added this like layer of like synth. Mm. Obviously, you see it more in like the shrines, and almost the sound of it, I'm now associating with like the color green, which is dotted around in all the Zonai devices and all the shrines and stuff. So it's almost like, Alex, we mentioned the word synesthesia a lot in Cross-Button VR, because obviously that's a more highbrow podcast.
We do.
But is that, I'm now associating these sounds and that colour, and it's all tying together in this lovely sort of, oh, it's just so satisfying, the whole package. God, I love it.
It is cool.
I love it. I love it.
All right. We've gushed.
All right,
Alex.
Calm down.
Calm down, lad.
I've got one question though before we move on.
Go for it.
I think you posed in the notes, Dan, if this is the greatest game of all time. It's like it's too early to say that. Even for those of us prone to hyperbole. Mm-hmm. I do think though, this has probably cemented Zelda as the best game franchise of all time.
Ooh, nice shout.
If it was ever in doubt anyway, I think I'd struggle to put anything else above it. What do you guys reckon?
That's a really good shout.
It's already my number one, so yeah, but I get your point. Alex is like, Forza.
You're not going to beat the Forza Fantasy, right? It's just not happening.
Look at the review scores.
I also had a question.
Hold on, I haven't finished the fucking answer yet. Jesus Christ, that's how questions work, mate.
Yeah, I've listened.
Worry about the next section if that's how you think answers are. I think it's so hard, isn't it? Because with, obviously, Final Fantasy is someone that's dearest to me, but we need to do a top X now with top gamer franchises, because that is completely a different ballpark compared to top 10 games. I can't disagree, even just on the weight of Breath of the Wild and this.
Yeah,
I can't think of a franchise that comes close. But on you go, Alex. Sorry.
My question was going to be, we're not doing a vault tonight, but so very first game that went in the vault was Breath of the Wild, and the whole premise of the vault is you have two games, one goes in the vault, one goes in the bin. Does this put Breath of the Wild in the bin from what you've seen?
What I've seen, probably.
But it's not. It's I guess it's fair. Per submission, isn't it?
No, I know, but you understand my point.
If we had to decide right now,
If you had to decide between the two, one minute in the vault, one minute in the bin, what would the decision be?
The Magic of Breath of the Wild's been, like, we've gone through that. And it's same as, like, Elden Ring. Like, if when you get a game that resonates from an exploration perspective, getting locked in a vault with that right now, a snack, a drink, and, you know, a film as well to wind down to. Like, I couldn't think of anything better than just having a duvet day with this game. A charger next to me, cold drink, a light wind blowing through the window, and, yeah, just spending 8 hours playing that game. So, yeah, I'd probably say I'd take that in with me at this point.
Polite wind through the window. Your neighbour's there. Arse.
No, you can smell freshly cooked.
Winking.
Not downstairs. Fucking hell. Don't live in a hovel. But, like, yeah, I'm just thinking of all the nice things that could happen. And I'm washing your windows down. Get down, Jeff. Okay. Mm. Anything we want to add? Just be. It's not going to be the last time we talk about this game. We know what we're like. We'll probably, yeah, we'll give it a couple of weeks.
If you remember the Elden Ring period from February, March, April 2022, then buckle yourselves in.
Yeah, Ben can't platinum this though. So,
well, there's one of the issues right there, isn't it?
Oh, needs to be flagged.
Oh dear, Alex is in there. You going to play it, Alex? When are you going to play it?
Yeah.
Tomorrow?
Probably Saturday. I'm thinking Saturday. It is now open. It is open.
Okay. That's the first step.
It is. I have licked the cartridge.
Just reminded me. One more point on that. We're all playing it on a different Switch to what we played Breath of the Wild on, aren't we?
Yes.
Because I think if you play it on the same Switch, or at least have your Breath of the Wild save downloaded to your new Switch, when you get to a stable, they import your old horses. And they go, oh, you've already got an account with us. Here's your old horses. Basically.
Interesting.
Which I haven't done. I've only heard that. But because I'm playing it on the OLED and we are, we would never have known that, basically. Oh, but it might be worth putting Breath of the Wild into your new Switch, downloading the save from the cloud and doing that.
Oh, yeah, you've just reminded me. Lewis gave a very good bit of information regarding the motion controls on this game. Do you remember what that was, Lewis?
Me?
Yeah, you are Lewis.
I turned them off like as soon as the game started. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Oh, really?
I thought you gave Max some advice in terms of centering it.
Oh, yes. Some people complaining about the difficulty with using Ultra Hand and flipping round objects, which is, at first, I was like, what's going on here? But if you're presented with two axes, like a big cross in the middle of the screen, line your piece up with that, and up and down, and you'll be fine. Just line up with the axes, axes, and you'd be good. No issues after that. And Max actually came back to say that this was great advice.
He did say that. Rare compliment from Max.
Usual nerdy challenge.
So line up with the axes, you'd be good.
Go on, man. One other question, sorry. I've switched to pro mode, so HUD off. You guys done that yet?
No.
Because it's lovely being able to see just the whole vista without. I did the same in Metroid Prime earlier this year. As soon as I started playing it, just took all that shit off the screen so you can just see everything, and then you're relying on sound effects to tell you when you're low on life and things like that. It's a very pure experience. I like it. Pure.
Oh dear. Speaking of pure experiences, Alex, wake up. You're hosting now. You ready?
I'm ready.
Are you ready to
Speedrun XL.
Ooh.
Speedrun.
Welcome to Speedrun XL. Yes, remember, I am still here. Might have had a little nap, but I'm still here. The internet famous gaming quiz challenge. As you might expect, a little bit different tonight because I'm hosting and we've just been talking about Zelda for far too long, so we're going to keep talking about Zelda for a little bit longer. We thought, since this is a very special Tears of the Kingdom episode, I thought, well, what better way to celebrate that than to pit Ben, Dan and Lewis against each other in a little Legend of Zelda series. So rules a little bit different. Rather than having a time out, each person has a series of 10 questions, and whoever can get the most of those 10 questions right is the winner. I did ask the chat, so the order that this is going to run in is Ben, Dan and Lewis, alphabetical order. Ethan chose.
DDA.
So Ben, you are up first. You have...
So I've got to do my own sound effects.
Oh, Lewis, yep.
Question.
Why am I in the big rectangular box on the screen?
I couldn't be asked putting you in there.
Okay, cool.
Just keep yourself centered. Keep yourself centered, you're fine.
Yeah. So
I've got the countdown on the screen, Alex, so I'll be the countdown guy for this one.
We can have a countdown if you want, or we can just do the 10 questions. Lewis, keep the screen done, so you've got a maximum of 9. If I don't get... Yeah.
Okay, you're in charge. Come on, what do you want to do?
It's just for fun.
I did say we'd just do the 10 questions each rather than...
Okay, that's fine. It's a speedrun then.
Okay, fine.
Yeah. Well, it's more of just right, a okay. 90 seconds. Just... Put 90 seconds in the clock.
Then. I can't put 90 seconds.
10 questions is fine.
Got 60 seconds. If you wanted 60 seconds, I'd put 60 seconds on it.
Right, okay, 60 seconds, I'll just top that.
Okay.
Ready?
Yeah. Is it me?
Then you so you can pick A, B, or C. Okay. These sets of questions. I've tried to keep them quite easy so that there's a similar theme across each
set of questions. I'll go for B.
B for Ben.
Like half of my monogram. Yeah.
Yep. I can ask a question, please. Did you use ChatGPT?
No, I just used various different levels of Zelda quizzes across the internet and picked some random questions.
Okay. Let's do it.
Shall I count you down?
Yeah.
3, 2, 1.
What is the name of the first game in the series released in 1986 in Japan?
The Legend of Zelda.
What is the name of the hero who wears a green tunic and wears a sword and shield?
Are you having a laugh?
Link.
GPT, this.
What is the name of the horse that Link rides in Zelda?
Epona.
Loves the horse.
What is the name of the dark realm that mirrors Hyrule and ruled by an evil king in some games?
Lowrul.
What is the name of the race of rock-eating people who live in mountains and volcanoes and have stone-like
skins? Gorons.
Are you doing this deliberately? This is a fucking piss take.
No, I tried to... No.
Come on.
What is the name of the Link's boomerang that can stun enemies and retrieve items from afar?
It's a boomerang. No, move on.
Which game introduced a sailing
Heroes
mechanic?
Boomerang.
No. Which game introduced a sailing mechanic where Link
Wind Waker.
Had to...
The Legend of Zelda Wind Waker.
In Breath of the Wild, how long did Link spend in the Resurrection Shrine?
100 years.
That was the last one.
Tingle was introduced in what
that
game?
That was the last one.
That was the last one. I've run out of time.
Oh, I'm watching the other clocks.
Right.
I was watching the... No, but I... They get a bit harder as you go on, but you were all. I didn't want a quiz where you wouldn't get any of the answers right, so I had to keep it quite simple.
Yeah, well, I'm not going to answer again.
You're quick. You're nice.
What was? Did you keep score as you were going there?
I think the only one you didn't get was the Gale boomerang.
Okay, Gale's boomerang. Yeah.
Yeah. So you got 7.
Gale's bakery. Okay.
7.
All right.
Okay.
Dan, you're next. ARC.
I'm going to go for A for arsehole, please.
C for cunt.
P for panini. Okay. 3, 2, 1.
Who created the Legend of Zelda series?
Pass. Can't remember his name. I'm useless.
What is the name of the land where most of the game takes place?
Hyrule.
What is the name of the main villain who is a powerful warlord turned against demons?
Ganondorf.
What is the name of the sacred relic that grants any wish to its holder and is composed of 3 triangles representing power, wisdom, and courage?
Triforce.
What is the name of the race of aquatic people who lives in lakes and rivers and have fish-like features?
Oh, I can never remember their fucking name. They're not the Zorons. Skip.
Yep. What is the name of Link's shield that can deflect most attacks and has a red bird emblem on it?
Hero Shield? Go on, keep going.
Which game introduced a time limit mechanic where Link had to prevent a moon from crashing into Termina in 3 days?
It's not Ocarina of Time, it's one after it. Majora's Mask.
Yeah. The first game begins with a quote from an old man. It's dangerous to go alone. Take this. What is the old man referring to?
A sword?
Is that time?
Yes.
How nice do I want to be? It is a sword, but it's a certain type of sword.
Not the Master Sword.
No, a wooden sword.
Oh, yeah, wooden sword. It was a sword.
That's
fine. Yeah. Okay. Well done, Don.
Thank you, mate.
What we get there?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6.
6?
Done.
Good job.
How many did you get, Ben? 7.
7. All on you, Lewis.
Yeah.
All so, on you.
Do you want the answers of the ones you missed?
Yes, please.
Because you were very close with one of them. So, oh,
Zora.
The Zoras, yeah. Mm. And the creators of the Legend of Zelda series?
Shigeru Miyamoto. I knew it was Miyamoto, but I didn't want to say another name.
Takashi Tezuka, apparently.
His castle's fantastic.
Oh, really?
And, yeah, I got one wrong, and you went... And you spent, like, 3 seconds just reacting to that. And I was like, fucking move on.
Half the time of mine, he was talking to fucking Lewis.
He was. Right.
I'm not a very good host, all right?
It's fine. It's fine. If anything, you're the best. Okay.
So, and you can be right. So, Lewis, hopefully you'll not be complaining that yours are too hard, but you have 60.
Oh, boy.
60.
Yep.
Right. Good to go.
3.
Yep.
2. 1.
What is the name of the princess who is often kidnapped by the main villain?
Zelda.
What is the name of the fairy companion who accompanies Link in several games and often says, "Hey, listen"?
Navi.
What is the name of the musical instrument that Link uses to play songs that have various... What is the name of the race of elf-like people who live in Hyrule and have pointed ears and long hair?
Kokiri.
No. What is the name of Link's sword that can repel evil and shoot beams when fully charged?
Master Sword.
Which game introduced a wolf form mechanic where Link had to switch between
Twilight
human
Princess.
And wolf? What is the main currency across the series?
Rupees.
What was the first original Zelda game in a Game Boy?
Oracle of Seasons?
No.
Which
Zelda spin-off game was bundled with a Wii Zapper?
My Crossbow Training.
Which game featured a number of cameos from other Nintendo games, particularly from Super Mario games?
Link's Awakening.
That's it.
Time.
Well done, mate.
That's did well there.
7.
Ooh, 7. That felt like more than 7.
Oh, I think you need to have a tie break now.
Let me count again.
No, 7.
I have a tie. Well, we have
the guy that works in
question.
Fucking accounting and finance. Hold on.
Well,
let me do a recount.
Note, but
fucking hell, it's only up to 10, mate. Too. Jesus Christ.
You didn't get the Hylians, you said the Kokiris.
You said the forest people. Ah, okay.
Mm. Long hair, long pointy ears.
Oh no, I think you got 8. Sorry, 8. So Lewis did win. Yeah.
Let's give him
well
a
done, Lewis.
Well done, Lewis.
What's the tiebreaker?
Well, Ethan asked a question in the chat, which I was going to use as a tiebreaker. So let me go back and find it. He said, "What was the name of the snakes in the original game? What were the was after we were talking about the likes? What were the snakes in the original games known as?"
The three-headed thing? No.
I don't know. Ethan asked a question.
No idea.
Rope.
Rope.
The snake's called rope, aren't it?
No. Ethan, tell us in the chat what the answer is. You didn't actually give us the answer.
Alex was saying no, and he doesn't know what the answer is. You were like...
I said I didn't know.
Hold on.
No.
No.
I said I didn't know.
You idiots don't know. That was good. Thank you, Alex.
That was great, mate. Really fun.
Yeah,
enjoyed that.
Thank you.
Yeah, it was nice and tried to keep it simple.
Yeah, and by the time you got to Lewis, you were firing the questions really quickly. It was really good for him.
I was answering before he finished, though. So, you know, you guys are being too polite.
It was rope place. Well done.
There we go. There you go.
Ben, do you want your last two questions to see if you'd have got them right?
Nah, it's fine.
Let's put them to the group.
Right. Tingle was introduced in what game?
Ocarina of Time?
Majora's Mask, yeah. Bollocks. The map in Breath of the Wild is the same size as what city?
Liverpool. New York. Baghdad.
Birmingham.
It was designed to be the same size as Kyoto.
Oh, that makes sense.
Of course, yeah.
Forget all of the...
We all went for glamorous cities. Didn't think close to home.
I think we had two questions left in Dan's. Do you want them as well?
Yeah, go for it.
Go on then, just for fun.
How many notes are playable on the ocarina?
Baghdad. Oh, sorry, four.
Four?
Yeah.
Six?
Five.
Split the difference.
Oh, because B would take you out.
And last question. In terms of the Zelda in-game timeline, which game takes place?
Skyward Sword.
Yeah.
I think that's it. I do have another.
That was fun. Yeah. We should do a Zelda quiz every week.
I like a quiz. Quizzes are good.
Yeah. Good fun.
Right. Chaps, been a pleasure, as always. Love this. You guys are recording tomorrow as well?
Yes. Episode, what were we on? 13?
13. Episode
13.
Yeah.
Looking number 13. Mm.
Yeah. Lots of
showcase predictions, maybe, Ben?
Maybe some of that. We've got some listener questions, viewer questions we've got to address as well. And then, yeah, look forward to the showcase next week.
Playing some very good games.
Wonderful. Where can I find that?
Find that at Crossbutton VR. So if you search on your podcasting app of choice, search for Crossbutton VR and you'll get all the first 12 episodes. And if you are watching on YouTube, you will find it on this very channel.
Sexy. Lewis, are you... He's gone. He's been lost. Lost to the people of the forest. Thank you for listening to our inane ramblings this week. If you're a regular listener and fancy getting a bit more involved with our fellow players, our social links are pretty simple and easy to remember. Last but absolutely not least, big thanks, patron, Ethan Hunt, Steve Simpson.
No, we should definitely read them out because we've got a new one this week, haven't we?
Oh, we have. Well, I am reading them out. Yeah. I was just making a joke about it.
I thought you were taping really off. Interrupt.
No, I wasn't. I was still being professional. Ethan Hunt. Steve Sticky Simpson.
Off. Have you seen his penis?
Nate Ellingsworth. Come on, pack it in. Nate Ellingsworth, Carl Hughes, Sean Hughes, Jason Frost, Sarah Purbrick, Rebecca Rudranath, Luke Cooper, Kevin Scully, Mark Hammond, Runestorm, Phil Marshall, Lalina DeSaltos. Who's the new one?
Phil Marshall.
Big Phil.
That's for you, Phil.
That's it. Take that, Phil. Let's leave Welcome. On that. Good night.
This one's for you.
Rune. Bye.
Kept you waiting, huh? Thank you.